You're listening to Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
World Generation Podcast Network presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kanye West, and the Swami Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident heel.
You're listening to the Full Tilt Boogie Show on the World Generation Podcast Network. Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, and what the fuck kind of madness was that? Holy crap. Who's in charge here?
I have no idea. That sounds like an invasion that happened here.
What the fuck was this shit?
You're listening to the Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network.
What the fuck is this shit?
Portions of this broadcast have been pre-recorded.
Hell yeah.
Generation Podcast Festival presents Fatal 4-Way Radio. Starring Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Infected, Peacemaker, Kanye West, and the Swami, Christian from Philly. Brought to you in part by Pro Wrestling Planet. And now, your host, the resident Minister of Sinister. Right on. Suck it.
Yeah.
Fuck you. That's right. Boomy.
Fuck you. Oh,
somebody's got to carry the cross around this motherfucker. Welcome to the show once again. I think we're on the air. We'll find out as the show goes on, I guess. We're a minute 56 in, or shall I say 4 minutes in, something like that. Welcome to the show, guys. We've got everybody on the panel today. I'm so excited for that. And by the way, thank you so much for joining us. It's great of you to join us tonight on this Tuesday, September 21st, on the World Generation Podcast Network, as we celebrate Fatal 4-Way Radio. Hell yeah, that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to celebrate Fatal 4-Way Radio. We're just going to have a good time.
All right.
Christian.
Isn't this the new season, Minister?
Whoa, did you hear that? Someone's had a little bit too much already.
Maybe I have, but you know, we're in the new season here. 2017.
New started season, with 2017 season. Started with the Full Tilt Boogie. And we're somehow the Full Tilt Boogie Show is on the air. Christian from Philly, how you doing out there, buddy?
I'm doing good, my brother. I'm doing good. Just ate dinner, and yeah, we got a lot to talk about tonight.
A lot to talk about, indeed. And we're gonna go ahead and toll the bell here and make sure everything is working. And yeah, everything seems to be working just fine, guys. Am I loud as fuck right now? I feel like I'm loud as fuck. I can barely hear you guys, though.
No, you're good.
No, you sound fine on our end. Everybody sounds good on my end.
All right, good. I can barely hear you guys. I don't know what the hell's up with that, but we shall move on. Anyway, guys, hell of a show today. We got a lot of shit to talk about. So let's get on with it, huh? The birthdays. Not very many birthdays today, so I'm going to do them all at once. What the hell? Christian, can we have a little birthday theme music?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. We don't really give a fuck, but we're going to do it anyway. Fuck you old people.
All right. We have Jack Briscoe. Jack Briscoe, 1941. I remember this guy, but I don't remember too much about him. I saw him wrestle a few times. It was back in the boring days, you know, collar lock, collar and elbow, headlock, fucking rest for fucking 20 minutes and all that type of shit. But happy birthday, Jack Briscoe. He might even be deceased by now. I'm not sure. Ricky Morton, also September 21st. Isn't this like one of the Rockers? One of the Rockers or some shit?
Ricky Morton? Yeah.
Up the Rockers, the Midnight Express.
Up the Rockers.
The Midnight, the Ricky Morton, the Ricky Morton Express. A little bit salty.
Ricky he was Morton a rocker salty. Probably, though. He probably was. He probably rocked out a lot.
You think he wore bandanas on his leg and shit?
Yeah.
Like tied up on his leg.
No, you're getting confused with the Rockers. That was the Rockers thing.
Kari Sane also celebrating a birthday. Oh, that's the 23rd, by the way. Ricky Morton was today, but Kari Sane is on the 23rd, as is Matt Hardy. I can remember just a few short years back when people were calling Matt Hardy Fat Lardy and all kinds of fucking names and shit. Then he said, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'll make y'all you fucking neckbeards worship me again. So what does he do? He comes up with a whole new gimmick and he's got everybody doing the delete thing. That's pretty creative. You got to give him credit for that shit. Who the hell can do that?
Matt Hardy's badass. Matt Hardy's badass. Yeah. Happy birthday, Matt. I watched him on AEW this past week and he's still badass.
Did he? Did his eye heal up from that rough shot he took a couple weeks ago from Orange Cassidy?
It kind of doesn't look like it. That's what I was thinking watching Matt. And you know, it stinks. It sucks to age, but like Matt's just like his face is like getting like super puffy with age. He looks like so goofy without the. Because I think the other gimmick hit it like his. What was it called? The broken Matt Hardy. I think that like hid the age a little bit, but now he's just playing himself. He's like. He looks like a vet. Like in five more years, that guy's gonna look old as old AF. But shit, hopefully.
Yeah, well, it's only a matter of time before he gets a new gimmick where he's gonna get his head shaven bald.
That's exactly what I said the other day. He's gonna have a hair match, and let me tell you something. This is why he's gonna do it. All right, he's at that age. He's got probably either salt and pepper hair, or it's either gonna be white as fuck. Right? And he'll look fucking mad as hell with white hair.
He's just willing to do things like that, too. He's willing to do extreme changes. So
that's exactly, Christian, where did you get this from, bro? Does it just make sense to you? That's what's going to happen based on what we saw last week where he was teasing the hair? Yeah. That's exactly what I think is going to happen.
I think basically he's going to wear a mask to hide his baldness, you know? We're going to see first time ever mask. Matt Hardy.
Now, I don't think he's going to go bald, though. I think he's going to grow out hair and go with a... Because, you see, if he starts growing out his hair right now because he dyes his hair and shit, he's probably going to want it to come back all one color, so he'll have it shaved off. He'll take a break for a little bit, come back with a whole new look and shit. Kind of like Fred Durst, but without the wig.
I say he goes with the Hulk Hogan. I say if he's losing hair, just go with the Hulk Hogan. Nope, we haven't seen a Hulk Hogan haircut since, Hulk Hogan.
It's been a while. You know, I was thinking Jason Zazzaro should do that. Zazzaro should go with a Hulk Hogan. Or Baron Corbin could do it, probably.
Go
with the Hulk Hogan. I mean, that'd be something new. But Matt Hardy, happy birthday. Mm-hmm. Also, Angel Garza, who seems to be back on the comeback trail with his partner, the wet dream Humberto Carrillo. They had an interesting win this week, which we'll talk about. So happy birthday to Angel Garza on the 23rd. Stephanie McMahon, 1976, baby, on the 24th. The billion-dollar diva, or billion-dollar princess, I should say. And also Sonya Deville on the 24th.
Yeah.
And we have Asuka, Steve Blackman, and Murphy on the 26th of September. So happy birthday.
You know, Steve Blackman was supposed to have a show at one point, right?
Like Edge of the Night or, you know, The Miz show or whatever the hell.
It was supposed to be like Dog the Bounty Hunter, that type of show, where he hunts down people. But it got canceled. It didn't even have a pilot episode. It got canceled immediately.
For what? Why did it get canceled?
I don't know. I guess they didn't like the show. I guess they didn't like the pilot. And
maybe they didn't like him. He seems like he's kind of a hard ass.
Well, that's the whole point. He's a bounty hunter. He's not supposed to be fucking friendly. That's his job.
I just don't understand how you're a fucking Democrat, bro. But I digress. Happy birthday to all those folks, and we will see them again next year. This day in wrestling history, man, we got a doozy today, guys. I was actually at this show, and it was a shitload of years ago, 22 years ago to be correct, in Dallas. And this was not at the American Airlines Arena or Center. It was at the old Reunion Arena. And it was the Unforgiven pay-per-view. Are you guys with me?
We're here.
The Unforgiven.
It was Unforgiven.
No, I take that back. It wasn't that. That's the wrong one, man. It's 1999 SmackDown. It is. I was not at the Unforgiven.
Okay.
This was 1999 SmackDown, and it was Triple H ruling the day. He had beat five people, or had five matches that night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The card saw Big Show defeat Triple H. X-Pac defeated Mark Henry by countout. Oh, by the way, that was a chokeslam match, Big Show and Triple H. And it only lasted under 2 minutes. And then X-Pac defeated Mark Henry by countout in a WWE European Championship match, 3 minutes and change. Triple H with China defeated Kane in an Inferno match. And the New Age Outlaws, but wait a minute. We have a phone call coming through, and who is calling in? Whoa! Caller 361, you're on the air, Fatal 4-Way Radio. What's going on?
What's up? This is Alex Stunts.
Alex Stunts and the Hizzle. Welcome to the show, Alex Stunts. So let's go ahead, and how you doing tonight, bud? How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's up, man? I got called into work, but I'm still making time to join you fellas.
Well, that's great, man. And you wanted to talk about Dark Side of the Ring, so let's go ahead and get to that segment. And tell us about it, man. What did you think about it? Since you're our guest, we'll let you start out.
Well, if I'm being completely honest, I don't think I got caught up to the last episode. I started trying to catch up last night, and I think I made it up to... is it in the shadow of, what was it? In the Jake the Snake one. So I'm still a bit behind, man. Albert told me to.
We were talking about the recent episode, the Ric Flair, the plane ride from hell episode or whatever.
Yeah,
you guys see that?
That's the most recent. Okay, well,
yeah.
I did see that one then.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
I did see the plane ride from hell, yeah.
Yeah, that was the big one with all the buzz this week with Ric Flair and Tommy Dreamer under fire from people coming at him for stuff that happened on the plane ride. JR really kind of...
Well, yeah, man.
Really
that shit's nuts. I didn't know that either, man. You know what's crazy? Is you watch those Ric Flair matches, you know? And he doesn't look like there's a lot going on in his tights to be helicoptering his wiener around. So, like...
Yeah.
Well, I'm... I'm still skeptical.
I was reading up on it.
All right, so the episode you were talking about. Yes, the episode you were talking about was In the Shadow of Grizzly Smith.
Okay, yeah, that's the one I started, but I guess I got them mixed up because I did see the airplane one. And I got to be honest, I was kind of shocked. I didn't know that there was, like, sexual assault going on. I thought that the whole thing was, like, a funny joke, a funny story. Yeah, I had no idea about any of that. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Well, there's a running low on time here. What was going on in California? You met up with Vanilla Ice? Is this true?
Yeah, man. It was my second time going out to Hollywood this year. I'm also working on a documentary with Corey Feldman, and that's about to be wrapped up. But I went up there earlier this year to meet up with him. And then I went back out again to meet up with Vanilla Ice because I won a Bar-S hot dog contest. And I got to be in a Bar-S music video commercial with Vanilla Ice. Yeah, it was awesome, man.
That was freaking killer, yeah. The experience had to be badass, man, I'm sure. But, bro, I had no idea that you're working on a documentary with Corey Feldman, like, alongside
him? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fucking
like,
animal.
Directly with him, yeah. And he's putting out a box set, yeah. thank you.
That's got to be a wet dream come true. I mean, be honest with us, bro. Is that a wet dream come true, bro?
Yeah, man. You know, it all stemmed from, because I also made my first documentary, which was about a Corey Feldman movie. And so that, when I made that, I got put on their radar, you know. And so they hit me up. And, yeah, definitely a dream come true, so to speak. Although, I don't know. I like to keep busy. I like to keep going. So I don't realize, you know, how unique or how interesting or how cool it all is until people tell me. So yeah, it is pretty crazy. I'm working directly with the guy. I got so much on never before seen footage on my computer. It's a documentary about his music career, which everyone's interested in. So
yeah.
I
would love to see him live. I would love
to
see
him live. I've seen him live before. It's awesome.
Funny.
Hey, and so when can we expect that to come out? I know we changed the subject here a little bit, but shit, you just dropped a bomb on it, bro.
Yeah, for sure. The documentary is coming out hopefully soon. He's putting out a box set chronicling his entire career, and it'll be part of that. And he really liked it, so I think he's going to let us put it in film festivals and whatnot and so forth.
Nice.
So, making things happen. Hopefully next year is a better year than this year was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we are.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, dude.
Vanilla Ice.
Vanilla Ice is awesome, man. He was cool as hell. One of the first things he asked me was,
"Is it true that Suge Knight hung him over a balcony?"
You know, I knew one thing. I knew was to not mention that because I'm sure he's tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't doubt it. You know. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I would not doubt it.
When we were talking earlier, we were saying that, you know, he was in JCW. He worked with, like, ICP a lot and stuff like this. So Vanilla Ice has a lot of ties to the wrestling world for sure.
Yeah. I asked him about that. I asked him, I said, hey, man, I saw that you were in a JCW, like, title involved in a tag team match or some shit. And I asked him if there was footage, and he said no, that he specifically asked for them not to film it. You know what I mean? But if you look on eBay, you can find a guy selling some Polaroids of the match. It's pretty interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he said it was a lot of fun, but that he's too old for that shit, is what he said. Yeah.
Yeah.
I found an odd request, you know, not to film it. What was the whole fucking point of him doing it if they weren't going to film it?
Yeah. Well, because ICP really dragged him out of the dirt. You know, the ICP was there for him when no one else was. So he owed him a favor, you know. It's pretty crazy. But yeah, it was definitely interesting, man.
They're just the kind of guys that would focus more on ticket sales and stuff and selling it as an event instead of, like, really filming and producing the whole thing, you know. It makes more sense for them to just book it as a show and sell the tickets for a lot of money or whatever.
for sure.
Not to get too dark, but I could see him going the way of like how like those celebrity like boxing matches are going, like on YouTube.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, man. I think he did do a boxing or some shit.
Payday for that guy.
Yeah, I want to say he did do a celebrity boxing back in the day when they had to put the, you know, the ad, the branding on your back and shit. I want to say that he did, I want to say he did box somebody back when. I could be wrong, but I want to check that
he's
out.
He's still in great shape, but what I've seen him, I think he could fucking pull some moves. He's got ninja
power. Well, they got a lot of boxing going on these days, so maybe we'll see him in the ring again soon.
Yeah, dude.
You don't keep up with current product at all, or you got any current favorite stuff going on? You keep up with anything AEW or WWE?
You know what? I really don't. I like wrestling, but I like the glory days and looking into the past and whatnot, which is why I'm a big fan of the wrestling, Dark Side of the Ring. But you know, I, if I'm being completely honest, man, I try watching like wrestling. And Raw, I can't even sit through it anymore, you know.
This is the theme of our whole podcast. I don't blame you, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
slowly getting back into it.
Shit, it's gone that way, man.
Yeah. And I try, you know, but then I find myself just watching old shit all more often than not. So, you know.
Dang.
But, hey, there's plenty of old shit, I suppose.
Todd Bridges was the guy who Vanilla Ice fought in celebrity boxing back in 2002. I'm seeing you right here. Who was trained by none other than Tank Abbott, believe it or not. Tank Abbott, who had that shitty run in WCW in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
Interesting tidbit of information there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that. Hey, guys, you know what? I'm getting called back into the fold here. So I'm sorry to have to leave. I would like to catch up on another subject, and I will be more well-versed next time. And I would love to join you fellas again.
Man, bro, thanks for joining us. And we'll go ahead and plug your YouTube, Staunch TV, right?
Yeah.
Staunch
yes,
TV,
sir. Staunch
so
TV.
Go check that out on YouTube. And Alex Staunch, thank you so much for joining us, bud.
Hey, man, thank you guys, every single one of y'all. It's always fun joining you fools. And like I said, next time maybe I can stay a little longer.
Ladies and gentlemen, Alex
Stotch
in the
head. All right, man. Yeah, let's take it easy.
Yeah.
Dude, I marked out for Corey Feldman.
Man, dude, that's incredible.
Out Corey Feldman, ever.
I'm not necessarily marking out for Corey Feldman. I'm marking out for Alex Stotch getting to work with Corey Feldman. That's freaking badass.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a hell of a way to start your career. You know, and just you go rung from rung all the way up to the top, baby. So, yeah, good luck to Alex Staunch on that. And please visit his site on YouTube. That's Staunch TV on YouTube.com. So, yeah, check that out. Guys, we were talking about the
this day in history.
Should we go back to the Ric Flair thing, or should we go back to the history?
We'll go back to the history.
So it was the SmackDown episode, and I was there, and we had the Chokeslam challenge, and then X-Pac defeated Mark Henry by countout and retained the European Championship. Triple H defeated Kane in an Inferno match, which only lasted 3 minutes and 35 seconds. The New Age Outlaws.
Speaking of that.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Speaking of that,
no, that's cool.
You know, you know it's fucked when the guy who invented his stipulation match always loses. Nine out of ten.
Big Show
loses.
Big Show. No, he actually won. But still, yeah, you're right. Kane lost his Inferno match. He always lost the fucking Inferno matches, it seems.
The only time he won an Inferno match was against MVP. That's about it. That's the only time he won an Inferno match.
Damn it, it had to be against MVP too, my boy. Hey, he's doing some great work, and we wish him the best. We hope that he gets well soon. So, yeah, the New Age Outlaws then defeated the Rock and Sock Connection to win the WWE Tag Team Championships in 6 minutes and 28 seconds. Yeah, they defeated the Rock and Sock Connection.
That'll make no sense.
Midian defeat and Viscera defeated Triple H in a 2-on-1 handicap casket match, which only lasted 1 minute and 46 seconds. Hardcore Holly with Crash Holly defeated Al Snow in a 1 minute and 40-second match. Triple H defeated Mankind in a boiler room brawl. And I remember this. This was, like, done, like, backstage and shit, pretty much. And so, you know, you had to watch from the fucking, you know, on the big screen and shit, which is not exactly cool. And then you had Chris Jericho with Curtis Hughes defeat Ken Shamrock in a first blood match that only lasted 2 minutes and 23 seconds, followed by Triple H with China defeating The Rock in a Brahma bull rope match. Christian, what do you got?
Well, first of all, Mick Foley had to do double duty that one night, and so did The Rock, which, you know, doesn't make sense because at this point, Vince McMahon was the babyface. I don't know why he would book the two competitors that they're facing Triple H later on tonight in two matches. So that makes no sense, all right? That makes no sense in booking terms.
That was the heel in him coming out.
Yeah.
That was the heel in him, the deep-rooted heel in him.
This whole episode sounds like Vince McMahon had a dream and then woke up and, like, wrote it all down and then he's like, that's what we're going to do. Like, it just sounds like it's just fucking topsy-turvy, dude.
Oh, my God, he's got a cute.
Why were they fucking taking him through this?
That episode
sucks. Oh, my God, he's got
cute. You just told the time, you just told us the minutes of how long these matches were. That's horrible. This episode sounded like it was sucked. It sucked.
Oh, my gosh.
It's pathetic. I know. Excuse me for not fucking muting myself. Damn it.
So, but yeah, what did Triple H do? He was the why did everybody get to kill him tonight?
Well, you want to know? You don't know the storyline back then? The storyline.
I was watching
was
at the
Triple
time.
H-
I mean, Rock and Sock was around. I don't get. It was whenever he was marrying Stephanie.
Yeah, that's what happened. He married Stephanie in the drive-thru. He drugged her up, kayfabe, by the way, disclaimer, not real. He knocked her out, married her in the drive-thru, and Vince McMahon was fucking angry, and that's why it happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's the only thing that can make sense. I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then it's got to be that. That's funny. Well, shit, I remember being a kid during that era. That was my era. But it didn't sound that crazy. Shit.
It was pretty crazy. No, I was a 10 kid during that era. It was pretty crazy to me.
Oh, yeah,
man.
Like, wasn't
there one episode where they went through a drive-thru and she was like...
It was right before this or sometime before this.
You know, that's just never coming back on television ever again. They're never going to talk about that. They're never going to use that fucking clip. You know what I mean? Especially... after, you know, like, when you think about stuff like that, and you start thinking about the H-bombs that these guys used to use that they talked about in the episode of Return of the Ring, you know what I mean? It really makes you wonder where that storyline came from, you know what I mean? It was like art imitating life, if you will.
Yeah.
Man, that's perfect. I like that. That's great analysis there.
It makes you think because there was a segment before the wedding happened. There was the bachelorette party with the Stephanie, and all the women in the locker room were there, especially Mae Young in there. And it makes me think: did Mae Young H bomb Stephanie McMahon? Like,
oh my
did she drugged her?
Oh fuck! Right?
So can we briefly...
it all makes sense now. It all makes sense now.
Can we briefly touch on the Mark Henry Mae Young thing?
Sure. Go right ahead, Ricky. You're the other guest, by the way. We have another guest here. Shit. My bad manners. My bad manners. Welcome.
You might remember more than I do, but what came out, like, what was the baby was there a baby? Do you remember what happened?
I kind of remember what happened.
He's come back and, like, been on the show again.
Okay.
Yeah.
You really don't remember?
I don't remember.
You brought it? I
brought it up so y'all could, like,
bring
it
to a hand.
Yeah,
it was a hand.
Okay. He looked like the guy from Chef Boyardee. He looked like the glove, only without the glove.
Ooh.
And he came back later and was like, hey.
Dirtiness.
I'm not going to lie. I actually thought it was just a bunch of dildos strapped together.
The hamburger helper. Hamburger helper.
Hamburger helper?
The hamburger helper glove.
What?
No,
that's what it looks like. Yeah.
Mark Henry's been replaced on AEW, too, if you want to bring up a relevant Mark Henry thing, right? He got replaced on AEW by Ricky Starks, and it's like they're like, what the fuck is Mark Henry going to do on AEW? So they, like, paid this guy, they brought him in, and, like, now I don't, like, nobody knows what his role is going to be. But, yeah, he's still doing
the thing on AEW.
Yeah. Mark Henry worked there.
Really?
Sorry,
I don't know what they're going
to
do with him. They don't know what they're going to do with Mark Henry on AEW?
He's
going to
be an
agent
or something.
I mean, he should probably just be a, you know, backstage segment worker.
Yeah.
They do this kind of Sports Center thing where, like, he does this promo before the main event or whatever, and that's pretty cool. But it's also, like, cheesy, and, like, he's not that good at it. But, like, a lot of people like that aspect of it, but... I don't know if they're going to keep doing it or not. A lot of shit about AEW gives shit a big fight feel, though. Like, it feels, like, bigger. I watched AEW this week, and I watched Raw first, and then I watched AEW, and it was, like, a fucking billion times better.
Yeah, well, they're the ones that started saying that big fight feels shit. And now, that's all you hear on fucking WWE when Michael Cole is talking and at the pay-per-views. And they say that shit every other fucking statement, it seems. But it was AEW where I first heard that shit.
It goes to the whole thing where it's like WWE is feeling more isolated now, right? Whereas AEW feels more connected to the fans and sports in general, just and different companies, you know. But AEW just feels, I mean, WWE feels really in its own bubble still, and
yeah,
and
you know what it reminds me of?
They're not going to come out of that until they get their head out of their asses. But go ahead.
You know what it reminds me of is early UFC, whenever UFC was a threat to WWE, whenever the production were ramped up for UFC and these guys got big TV deals and shit like that. Like, it's the same kind of competition that UFC was earlier in their career. And then now you got this thing where UFC is a different thing than WWE, but it's compared and it makes the same amount of money and everything. So even though it's still a wrestling promotion, like, it's got the same kind of vibes as that, like early UFC vibes, even though it's a wrestling company.
Yeah.
More than
I get exactly
like
the
ECW,
from
like
the UFC
like WCW.
The Spike TV UFC era, right? Like that whole, like, yeah, I get exactly where you're coming from there.
But I just think that they will be a bigger threat in the future. Like, it's not going to go nowhere, and they're going to be a bigger threat in the future.
Let's not beat around the bush, gentlemen. The reason why Ricky Starr replaced Mark Henry is because he sucks. His commentary is awful. Let's not beat around the bush. He sucks.
Yeah. I didn't like Excalibur for a long time, but Excalibur is pretty cool now. I actually like him. Taz is a clown half the time. Taz said some shit. What did he say when the guy got his head shaved? Taz was like, they were like, oh, this poor man's wife is probably watching on TV. And the last thing Taz said before the camera cut off was, he doesn't have a wife. And it's like this like fat schlub kind of dude, like they're like making it this whole thing. Like, I'm like, damn, dude, why are y'all shitting on this boy like this?
Who has the answer? What's Dan Severn up to these days?
Where are you from, buddy?
I really don't know. I don't know anything.
But he was, last I heard, he was just walking around with a wet gray T-shirt around town.
Yeah.
going from city to city with that music playing in the background.
Wrist tapes up.
Ding, ding,
he's
ding,
like, hey,
ding,
y'all sell wrist tape? And you, like, walk ding, into a Walgreens, you sell ding, wrist tape? They're like, no, ding, sir, sorry.
Ding, just like a buff fucking Freddie Mercury, I guess.
He is a buff Mercury, yeah.
Dan Severn is probably one of our favorite wrestlers. Me and Ricky watched a lot of Dan Severn matches.
We have his theme song here. We have his theme song here, but it's under someone else's name, according to Albert. That's when we used to play the trivia, whatever the hell, name the superstar, name that tune.
Was he named under Dr. Death, Steve Williams? But Dr. Death never used that song. I mean, he did it once, but Dan Severn used it in like 99.
Imagine
being one of this kids. Imagine one of being Dan Severn's kids, and you touch the thermostat and the AC thermostat, and this song starts fucking playing, and you see this guy like walking down the hall with a fucking great t-shirt soaked in sweat.
Oh, God.
And you think when he gets mad, like the hairs in his mustache like stand up, like they get like because they perk up, like. They turn extra black whenever he gets mad.
Has anyone seen any pictures from current Dan Severn these days?
I wouldn't fuck with that dude. There's a few wrestlers. There's like 10 shooters that I could think of, and that's one that I would not fuck with.
Yeah. I wouldn't fuck with one of those fucking dudes that you walk up to him and he'll punch you with his mustache. He doesn't have to lift his arms. His mustache is like fucking.
He's like fucking Popeye. He'll kiss you on the cheek and your ass is going to be like, dude. He'll give you a little peck on the forehead.
It's like Ken Shamrock. He'd just look at you with the look and you're like, nah, I don't want to do that. I'm good.
Yeah. You shrink, like you physically shrink. You get like a foot shorter. When you look at him, you start shrinking.
No, I'm going to go back to Pecos. I'm going to go back to Pecos, Texas.
Hell yeah.
12 years ago today, guys, long time WWE ring announcer Lillian Garcia. By the way, that was fucking funny as hell, man. The Dan Severn shit. Lillian Garcia leaves the company after 10 years. Plucked from her gig as a radio DJ, she debuted just before SummerSlam 1999. And dabbled in other areas for the company, including singing the national anthem and backstage interviewing. Now, she just crossed the 10-year mark with the company before leaving, giving her the nickname the Deck Diva. Her actual final television appearance came 3 days later for WWE Superstars Christian.
I do not really care for Lillian Garcia. she did come back last week off air before the SmackDown came on the air singing the national anthem in Madison Square Garden. So she did come back before the show aired, or maybe off aired, I don't know. But
and also
Lillian Garcia.
She wouldn't be gone forever. She would have, appearances here and there in 2010. When a volcanic eruption stranded most of the Raw staff in Europe, including Lillian's replacement, Justin Roberts. She had to, come in and do the show must go on, baby. So Lillian came in and did the show. She also returned to the company in 2011 as the ring announcer for SmackDown. And in 2014, she would replace Justin Roberts as Raw's ring announcer. I remember that. She came back for, it was a brief stint, though. And it's a role she held until, 7 years ago when she left the company a second time to care for her cancer-stricken father.
Yeah.
So that's how she went out.
You think there was something going on between her and The Rock, man? You go back and watch some of their promos together.
Yeah, that's a very good subject, man.
The Rock was funky there, but it really sounded like there was like something going on there.
Like there was some realness to it. I know, I mean, and they did that quite a bit back then. So, and yeah, it did. I mean, there had to have been. We need to get the Rock on here. Do we have a rock person at the risk of sounding like a fanboy
or like a simp for Lillian Garcia, like always been in love with her. Kristen said you didn't care for her. She's like she was awesome. And I think she came back. I thought she came back this year and sang. Maybe not. I know I've seen her in the last couple of years, I feel like, where she sang on at a pay-per-view or something like that. But she was a badass ring announcer. I don't remember chemistry with her in The Rock, and it makes me want to watch and see. But if anything, I think that she's probably selling his character.
Oh, yeah, man. He would always stick her hard. She would be the butt of his jokes, right, Albert?
He's probably ribbing her.
Yeah, but it was like flirtatious jokes. And you know how he would like pick on like Michael Cole or whatever, like in the ring. He would do these things to her, but it was just weird. He just caught this weird vibe. And on a few occasions.
Probably wouldn't fly. I don't know. You think there's gonna be a Dark Side of the Ring episode about The Rock and Lillian Garcia, the harassment in the workplace?
Well, who knows?
We laugh now. I'm being kind of satirical, but
man, it's up in the air. I mean, these days everything is up in the air, guys, and we shall see because something could develop.
The Rock has a song. I think I brought it up on the show before, but The Rock has a song called like "I Love Pie," and it's on one of the WWE albums. If y'all Google it, you'll find it, and it's like him and Slick Rick. And it's like The Rock does these accents. He does Chinese accents, and he says all this like all this stuff that like nowadays.
Oh man, I know he doesn't want that shit to come out. Go dig it up.
He might be canceled 6 months from now.
It's surreal to listen to that song because it's Dwayne Johnson singing it. It's so funny.
Okay, there was another song too, and I remember that one vaguely. But you guys remember that one song? And I can't remember the name of the artist that sang it, but it was a rapper and like. Maybe 2000, featuring The Rock. And it was that, like, I got 50 Bentleys in the West Indies. It doesn't matter. You guys remember that song?
I don't remember that one.
It was, like, a fucking hit on MTV for, like, quite a few months. And it was, like, The Rock. It was, like, before he did Scorpion King, he had, like, a video. And he was, like, just in the video, just standing there with his dudes, like, rapping. And he's, like, the whole chorus of thing was, it doesn't matter. Hey, you know, I don't know, man. You look it up. Look up The Rock.
I remember, I'll dig deeper
in the rabbit hole. I love The Rock.
I remember a song that was really popular, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, a year ago or something. It was
Big Bow Wow's the motherfucker. No, that's right. They call me Big for a reason.
Yeah, it was.
I got a hard-ass dick.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is that The Rock? The Rock never sang that song, Chuck. Turn that trash off, jabroni. There's limited children listening to this show, jabroni. Get your act together.
The Rock said.
But I digress. Christian, do we want to do another one of these? Or do we want to move on? How much time do you need?
No, we can move on if you want. I just want to talk about, you know, the serious shit that happened this past night and then fucking the predictions for Extreme Regular Rules.
I want to talk a little bit about AEW, too. Are we going to do that?
Yeah, and that's
it. Do you have some of that
in
store for us? All right, so let's move on then. We'll move on, and we'll come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Dark Side of the Ring a little bit more and some other things. But we'll get through this, I promise you. So we'll be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio. We'll be right back. cigars. Come on in and enjoy the game. Come on in and relax with friends. Come on in and light them up at Friendly Fire Cigars, where they carry top brands such as Arturo Puente, Viejo, Romeo and Julieta, Avo, Monte Cristo, Ashton, and many, many more. Friendly Fire Cigars, where they have amenities such as comfortable leather seating, 4 HD TVs with 4 separate cable receivers, Netflix, Wi-Fi, cigar locker rental, patio seating, and much, much more. Where do you want to go? Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire, Friendly Fire Cigars. 1905 South Derry Ashford. Friendly Fire Cigars. Get there.
If you're a homeowner and you're tired of those pricey electric bills, you're not alone. Wrestling fans all over are switching to solar, and you can too. It's as simple as going to TexasSolarNow.com and receiving a free consultation plus $25. It's that easy, and not only will you save money and make money, you're going to help save the planet too. You don't even have to live in Texas. You can go to TexasSolarNow.com and an agent will contact you anywhere in the U.S. where service is available. So don't let the power grid fail on your family this year. Make the switch at TexasSolarNow.com, a proud partner of the World Generation Podcast Network.
Looking for a wild show about your precious Dallas Cowboys? Check out the Puro Pinche Cowboys Podcast, Season 2, coming soon, only on the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more. Puro Pinche Cowboys! Puro Pinche Cowboys! Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. I am the resident heel, Minister of Sinister, sitting here with Rancho Punk Rocker, Albert Inspected, Peacemaker, Kevier West, the Swami, Christian from Philly, and also joining us tonight, special guest, Ricky. Ricky. Who does not really follow the product, but yet here he is as our special guest because, you know, we like that. We like having some of that out input here and there. A little bit of added madness. You sprinkle in some added madness, and there you go, baby. Ricky, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, man. Like, everything's flawless. Astros up 3-1 right now.
Nice. I see that, yes.
I do love wrestling. I've always dug wrestling since I was a young kid. Since I was 2 years old, watching the...
But you don't watch it. You watch baseball instead.
Yeah, I watch baseball instead now. Maybe I might be a little bit older. But coming up as my younger years, I do love... I remember watching the Warrior coming out, being
Ricky,
4 years old.
You always go through the Ultimate Warrior thing on the show. We've
I
love
the Ultimate Warrior.
You don't have to talk about the Warrior again.
R.I.P. the Warrior.
Nice.
And the Ultimate Dragon was an amazing badass, too.
How did you feel
Ricky
about Ric Flair?
Yes, he needs to get out more.
and Stone Cold.
How did you feel about Ric Flair, Ricky?
If you're going to RIP anybody...
If we're going to talk about Ric Flair, okay, we're going to talk about Ric Flair, let me get my take on
If he's going to RIP to anybody, we need to mention RIP to Norm MacDonald, because we haven't done a show since Norm. RIP to Norm MacDonald, too.
I know it's not wrestling-related. No, it's not wrestling-related, but he was a part of my upbringing as well. Norm MacDonald?
Norm
MacDonald, yes.
You got a lot to get into, though. There's,
passed away last
week. WWE.
Albert Inspected broke the news right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I wasn't here. I'm sorry.
A true great.
Be honest.
Comedy legend.
Wait, what? I missed that. What did you say?
Norm MacDonald.
To be honest, I hated Ric Flair as a young child, but I love Ric Flair now. But I don't know about these recent allegations.
We're gonna catch you up,
Albert. You knew about the train, right?
He was a huge womanizer. He's always been a womanizer. He said it on his documentary that he was a huge womanizer.
Did everybody here already know about the train ride from or the plane ride from hell and I've always heard that he exposed himself to a flight attendant.
I saw the documentary. Yeah.
No, I didn't.
We had this discussion months ago. Maybe 8-9 months ago, we had this discussion on the show where we're talking about when Ric Flair is finally going to get canceled. You know, remember?
I do recall.
Interesting subject matter there, but yeah, it finally happened. We called it right here on Fatal 4 Radio first.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take the credit. Unfortunately, Christian?
Unfortunately, that didn't stop the USA Network from playing his commercial for auto cars. So, yeah, fuck you, USA Network.
Wow.
Oh, really? He got canceled and they still ran the commercial?
Whoops.
During Raw, Christian?
Yes, during Raw.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, his commercial still played.
So, okay, wait. I know we are in touchy times these days. But back in those days, it was a different time.
Careful what you say. You can't say stuff like back in those days.
Yeah,
bro.
You'll get canceled.
You can't say that.
Listen, like in cancel, you
no,
can't
you'll
forgive.
Get, you'll get, you'll get canceled.
It's like talking to your old grandma. Or talking to the old people from the old days. That fool just fucking came out of the bathroom and he was fucking butt-ass naked and he wanted to party.
I'm not going to stop saying what needs to be fucking said. I'm just not going to say it the way I used to say it. You understand what I'm saying?
So,
but I'm not going to stop from saying what needs to be fucking said, ever.
As I saw on Facebook that Car Shields is still running their ads with Ric Flair, and I got a notification earlier, but the comments are disabled. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on there.
But they know.
I saw that they had canceled the ad.
They just took turn the comments off.
I saw that they had canceled the ads like a day or two ago.
Apparently not. It still played last night during Raw USA Channel.
Wow.
Ric Flair made a statement. Did y'all see the statement that he made?
He doesn't remember that she's lying.
He came out on Twitter and Instagram and he said that he was under the influence of alcohol and drugs a lot of the time. That was the main thing that he said. And then he said, he brought up the fact that he did the 30 for 30 interview. And this is true. In the 30 for 30 interview, the people that made that 30 for 30 ESPN thing, they touched on all this stuff in Rick's life. But they dug into him with a fine-tooth comb.
This
is a blemish on his life that I've known about for years. A lot of people have known about. And they didn't dig into that and that thing. And he was like, why didn't they dig into this then? Kind of thing he put. So I'm not saying what I'm saying is like the statement that Ric made is like a really bad statement. It's like the worst PR statement you could have made at the time.
Yeah.
He like blamed these other people for not bringing it up. He said that he was under the influence of alcohol and drugs, which is okay, like as a PR move. But then he doubled down and was just like,
He was just like the guy that made this other documentary is a liar, but the only thing that he's ever told the truth about is that I've never done anything bad like that.
Yeah.
Then he used his word to his benefit or whatever.
Yeah. The dude's a fucking liar, except for when he's talking about me. That's exactly what he said.
Just
not in those words.
So, I mean, I don't want to go all in on the Nature Boy because this shit, like you said, there's something to the passing of time and if the settlement was made. That's what Tommy Dreamer was trying to say in the documentary. He says, like, look, if there was an issue, then maybe a settlement shouldn't have been made, and this should have been made a bigger deal. But then that comes across, that's victim shaming, from what I understand the definition of victim shaming.
Yeah, and,
too.
You know, like, I mean, so you can't fucking say anything. You can't express
your thoughts.
You can't
win for losing.
So then, you know, why the fuck, so then when does it come down to, you know, coming down on the person asking the question for even thinking it?
Hey, if anybody should have learned anything,
I mean,
every wrestler should have learned from these things. Don't fucking do shoot interviews like that. Don't talk about other people's shit.
Right.
Because it could still get you canceled. Like doing a shoot interview where you're not even talking about yourself. Like Tommy was not expecting that shit. And Tommy probably feels just like you, Chuck, where there's an aspect, you know, everybody has free speech. And nobody's saying that people shouldn't have free speech. But the sensitivity that's required in certain situations is something that people need to be aware of or whatever. And, like, so that's why these guys are under fire. You know what I mean? And none of us, like, I think that I could fucking misstep and get canceled over some shit for sure. Because I'm a fucking regular dude myself or whatever, you know, whatever.
You think about the things that we've made comments towards. I mean, any one of us could just slip up and because we're not celebrities and because of you know, our status, we could easily just slip up, be like Tommy Dreamer, like Kevin said, and be canceled if we were, you know, celebrities or in the larger public eye. And that's the scary thing, but at the same time, it's like, okay, I understand people have to be accountable for things they say or for certain instances, activities towards certain subject matters. But at the same time, it's like, dude, it's like we all have to learn how to fucking forgive people too. You know what I mean? And I think maybe not Ric Flair's, you know, maybe not Ric Flair, but even though, you know, we all know Ric Flair's gonna go down as the greatest of all time, he's gonna lay low for a couple of years before he resurfaces in WWE, just like Hulk Hogan did. But we need to forgive Tommy for sure, and we need to forgive quite a few other people too that have been the victims of this cancel culture.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that I'm not advocating against cancel culture whatsoever at all. You know, you guys know my political beliefs, but we another thing too is that we have to learn how to forgive these people, because if not, I mean, like, we're just gonna end up on the wrong, you know, side of history, man.
By the way, Albert, thank you so much for forgiving my my drunk texting.
Yeah,
in the middle of the night.
We let you speak your piece. Everybody on this show has kind of different. Yeah. Everybody on this show has different views, but we can all get along. But to speak to what Albert was talking about forgiving people and stuff, like, that's what, like, Kanye West did that during his CD release rollout. He brought out Marilyn Manson and DaBaby. He brought out these people. He brought out these canceled people that, like, he thought maybe. I'm just bringing up Kanye because that fits to what Albert was saying, and that's, like, that's the thing, is, like, certain people could be forgiven for their insurrection.
Let me tell you something about Kanye, though. He cheated on his wife, and that's why he's no longer with her. It's in the album.
You want to hear my opinion?
It's in the album, bro. Christian?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to jump on a airplane.
You want to hear No, you go first.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, you go. You go ahead, Christian.
You want to know my opinion about this whole plane ride from hell thing?
Yes, I do, actually.
Who cares? Let it go, people. It's been fucking years, okay? Let it go. It was in 2002. Let it go. I don't know why we're doing documentaries of old shit. We already known from years, but let it fucking go. These are old people. They're just old people now. Let them fucking live a peaceful life now. They were young. They were stupid. Let it go. Let it go.
And it was settled. It was settled out of court. I mean, it was.
Yeah, that's the problem
that's
for me right there, too.
To say.
was that it was
that's
said.
That's what Tommy was trying to say, but he said it wrong.
I agree.
You think
well, Tommy didn't get the total pass.
Jump on a plane. Okay. You're going to jump on a plane where Ric Flair, one of the fucking top stars at the time,
right.
Probably. You're going to jump on a plane with Ric Flair and party. And he's not going to come out naked. That's what he does. I'm not trying to give him stuff.
Well,
I'm not trying
to
like.
You have to watch the documentary because that's pretty much what all the boys are saying. They're like,
I'm not trying to like say like that's like cool or like that's what you should do, but like that's what he's been doing since like the
60s. I gotta say though, in all my years of being a fucking Ric Flair fan, I never knew this shit. I'm not going to come in here and fucking lie and say that I fucking knew that. I never knew this shit. This was all new to me. Can you imagine me being a lifelong Ric Flair fan fucking finding out about this shit? You know, frankly, it doesn't matter to me. You know, I'm not saying that it was right that he did that, but you know, like the thing was settled in court for a reason. She accepted what she accepted, and
yeah.
I'm sorry for her that she did that, and now she's having regrets. But that's her problem. This was already
I got two quick points to make here, and I agree with you, Minister. You're right. It was a long time ago, but two quick points here. That it seems like Dark Side of the Ring might be running out of subjects to talk about, you know what I mean? But, you know, like they're going like kind of like the way of the carny, if you will. They're kind of like, oh, they're doing fucking just whatever kind of crazy storyline there is. So it's like these guys are just kind of making, you know, not making shit up, but like going back and just taking a look at things that maybe have already been looked, you know, over and over again. And another point to that, kind of leading into, is that WWE, like 5 years ago, maybe even sooner than that, released their version of what happened in the plane ride from hell on a fucking cartoon on the WWE Network, which is no longer there. And they poked fun at it. They had Ric Flair naked in a robe. They had WWE put this out. And you
and it's
that
no longer there?
They took it off the network. But
oh my god!
Yeah, it was the animated version of it. It was they animated Dark.
I remember hearing about it, but I never saw it. I didn't pay attention to it. But
I watched
coming,
that episode.
Like it's all coming back to me now. You know, hindsight is 20/20. That's what they were talking about. I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about, but I did see the promo, not knowing fully what it was about. Wow. Man, that's great reporting there, Albert Inspected. Also, check this out. RVD made some comments after watching the Dark Side of the Ring episode. Just watched DSOTR heavy. Some insight for those who can handle it. Who can handle it, by the way. One, I haven't seen Ric Flair's dick. My comment about fans shouldn't see him doing the helicopter was a response to DSOTR telling me that's what they were told. They shouldn't. I don't want to see it either. Two, I said, trying to make her touch him, that was in quotes, by the way, I said, quote, trying to make her touch him, unquote, referring to his body, crowding her space, and her backing up like bad breath was in her face. I thought maybe they were playing from seeing a similar scene at a hotel bar, but I wasn't interested in naked Rick. Still ain't. I tried to sleep. And so a fan then asked him, can you confirm to us, to the best of your recollection, Rob, did you see Ric Flair specifically grab her hand and place it on his genitals? This is what the majority of people believe you said. Looking for a one-time tweet out there for clarification for everyone. RVD responded, I can confirm I didn't see that, and I didn't say that. Creative editing will have people hearing it different ways. So then another fan chimed in and said, he said that he saw him in the back of the galley for several minutes, but he didn't go back there to see what was going on. To which RVD responded, true. So then, you know, it just kept on going back and forth with these people. They're trying to play lawyer and shit. Another fan chimed in. I guess he's doing a Ask Me Anything. Who the fuck knows? Another fan chimed in and asked him, I remember him, like, crowding her and, you know, trying to make her touch him and stuff because that's what he said. You know, that was a direct quote from RVD. And RVD responded, yes. She couldn't buy him. Now, I don't know if that's a fucking typo or what. Without touching him. She couldn't get by him without touching him. He was blocking the way. So in an update, Ric Flair has responded to RVD's comments. And he says, a man tried to destroy my reputation based on an assumption. I don't even know what to say right now. So that's where we're at.
That's what the chick said, too. The chick said that he cornered her and that wouldn't let her buy.
All right.
It's a crazy situation. Well, I mean, it's crazy that it comes up, and it's crazy that it's been settled. But I think that it's still an important thing, and it's like it's just like the Hogan thing, and it's like there's certain people, there's things where you got to pick your battles. There's things where there is forgiveness, like Albert was saying, you know, like you can forgive people. There's things that people have to do in order to be forgiven, too. So we'll see.
It's unfortunate that the young lady.
You think maybe Rick can file a lawsuit? You think Rick can file a lawsuit against her now? Because of maybe there were certain things that that were in the original settlement that have been broken now that she's appeared on this episode?
I mean, he might be able to, unless if there's a statute of limitations on that.
That's
got to
be what it is. It's got to be a statute of limitations right now on it.
On, you know, like that agreement was only good for 20 years or 15 years or whatever, and, you know, everything eventually comes out because everything is public record. Okay, just because it was fucking, you know, settled out of court doesn't mean that even us couldn't go to whatever court this was tried in and pay them the $5 fee or whatever to get the report. You know? And so that's how that works out.
Let's get into I don't want to drag on with the dark shit too much. The dark
I don't
want to
do this anymore. This isn't fun anymore.
And now, the resident watchdog, Christian from Philly, with AEW Weekly.
Welcome. Welcome to AEW Weekly, where, you know, it's AEW Week, like always. And, yeah, AEW, man. They're at a huge momentum right now. Going to this week's very star-hitting show this week for two shows. One is the AEW Grand Slam tomorrow night, where you will see Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson. That's going to be a banger. We're going to see Cody Rhodes versus Malakai Black. That's going to be a banger. I don't know what the rest of the card is, but I'm pretty sure
Cody
it's a banger.
I've not seen Cody wrestle yet, so... That is going to be a banger.
How do you not see Cody Russell? Didn't you watch Malakai Black versus Cody the first time?
When was that? Oh, That's right. I did watch it. But, like, it wasn't enough, you know, to get me into it. So, like, this is going to set the feud, I guess. Because I like about these guys is that they got 2 months between pay-per-views. And, I mean, they got such a large staff of people. And I like also how they're not featuring everybody on the pay-per-view. But yet, when the guy in the gang or whatever wins their match or whatever, they come out from the back and shit to celebrate. I like that. It's different from WWE. Yeah. And that's what sets it apart, but continue, please.
Yeah, so it's all going to be bangers. But before we get to what happened last week's AEW show, I want to officially announce right now that as of last night, yesterday, or maybe a few days ago, AEW is in a partnership with the Hart Foundation and signing in officially from the heavens above himself, the King of Hearts, Owen Hart, is All Elite. And guess what? As of right now, soon enough, we will have a traditional tribute tournament for the Owen Hart Cup at AEW.
I mean, this is something that, like, to me, it didn't have to be done. I mean, he never even wrestled in the organization.
It doesn't matter. It's a tribute.
I mean, I guess.
Plus,
I hate to be the buzzkill here, but, you know, that's just how it is for me. To me, it's a waste of time and, you know, whatever, but whatever. That's what they're doing. They're jumping a shark, if you guys are familiar with the term. You know, when Fonzie jumped the shark. That's what they're doing here with this shit.
I remember, dude. Happy days. I remember Johnny Los Chachi. I was there.
Yeah. But I digress.
So, yeah. So, Andrade, you know. Andrade's going to be pretty fucked. Because of the whole Dark Side of the Ring controversy. Don't expect Ric Flair to be in AEW anytime soon. Expect Chavo Guerrero to be his manager again, because the whole plan was for Ric Flair to slide in those DMs of Andrade to be his manager. But now there's a whole documentary came out. Expect those plans to be thrown out the window.
Dude,
yeah.
That opens the door for Chavo.
Did y'all see?
Yeah, they beat the shit out of him. Yeah.
Andrade knocked the fuck out of him, dude. I was like, and that happens a lot on AEW where people get hit and I'm like, it doesn't happen much on
AEW. Yeah, it's pretty stiff.
I mark out for punches and fucking just like different moves a lot on AEW.
I loved it. He beat the shit out of Chavo, so now they got to explain, you know, how they're going to come back or put him back in or whatever. You know, or do they have to do that, really? I mean, they could call up old Ricardo.
No, that's
and
horrible.
Bring him in. Bring him in.
He needs people that can speak English for him.
Have Chavo come
you know,
I'd
like to see.
He keeps like hitting him and like flinching and shit. You get that that Brody Lee Dark Order kind of gimmick where Chavo's afraid he's gonna get his ass beat again.
Yeah. I'd like to see it to where they work out a match and bring Chavo into the match. That'd be something cool. Like, you know, if Andrade wins and, I don't know, maybe Chavo becomes the manager. I don't know. It'd be something interesting to see. That way, like, Chavo's forced to be his manager now. And, you know, like one of those situations. But it'd just be cool to see Chavo in the ring again.
How about we just get Conan to do the job for
I'd honestly, in my dream booking for Andrade, I would have him not have a manager and just go out there like how WWE first presented him in NXT, the CN Almas bullshit, like have him go out there and just fucking, and I mean, yeah, a female manager might be the way to go.
And his thing would be, no mamen culeros.
Look, the guy is one of the best wrestlers in the world. In my opinion, that guy is one of the best in-ring performers in the world. So, like, why not just book him like that? Why not just have him go out there and actually wrestle? Why do you got to shackle him down with this shitty heel gimmick? Why do you have to, like, do these fucking long storylines that don't make sense and fucking now they're ruined or whatever? It's like, I think people wanted Andrade to be a babyface, and I don't know. It just sucks that they went this way with him. Maybe I'm the only one.
Probably, I don't know. So, yeah, a lot of championship matches.
At one point, it was the best. Like, let him be the best.
Yeah. So, yeah. So that's about it for AEW Weekly. We've got to get ready for the Rampage.
There was some things I saw on AEW that I wanted to touch on, kind of, like the Ruby Riott and Britt Baker promo. Did y'all watch that? Did anybody see that?
I did, man. That was a great promo. That was a good promo. I enjoyed it.
Ruby was nervous. There was some stumbles. Like, the thing about Ruby, like, this was her first big promo, so, like, I let it pass. But, like, Britt is so good at promos, dude. Britt was, like, really good at the promo game in that match.
Eating that shit up when Ruby Riott came at her with the whole thing about, you know, to me it seemed like she was taking a dig at her like John Cena and Nikki Bella.
It also made me think about Thunder Rosa. The whole time I was watching that promo, I was like, man, this sucks because Thunder Rosa was the second to last in the Rumble. And, like, Ruby's cool, but Thunder Rosa would be really cool in this spot, too.
They need to add her into it as a three-way somehow is what would make it justify it for me. Because I also felt that way, too. Like, Thunder Rosa's outside peeking in when she should be in it as well. I got the same vibe, Kevier. And, I mean, I'm new to this shit. I'm new to AEW, Christian, but, you know, I'm watching. So, yeah, Christian, what do you think about that? What we're saying here.
About what? Ruby
Riott.
Yeah,
about like
Ruby Riott's promo and Britt Baker's promo. They're in-ring promo together.
It was great. It's better than what happened on last night's show between two certain females. So
it was
great.
Oh, yeah.
It's better than what happens between the men on Raw. Like, it's the better promo than what happens between the dudes on Raw.
And you're right, bro.
Yeah,
Kevier, I mean, She did fumble her lines a little bit and shit. She had to fucking, but she in the end she recovered nice. And I mean, like, it's also like you said, this was like her first big time fucking promo that lasted over, you know, like it wasn't just 30
it was
seconds.
5 minutes.
Shit.
5 minutes.
Yeah,
long,
this was a fucking long ass promo, in ring promo, in front of people and shit. I mean, if you've never performed it like a live people. Imagine talking in front of people like as a comedian and shit like that. I mean, you know, you have to have your shit together.
It wasn't her first ever, but it was her first in AEW, and WWE only ever gave her maybe 2 minutes or like something. Which is a lot of time. Like on
which
time, 2 minutes.
But she was not the whole focus in those 2 minutes. You know, maybe she spoke, you know, a few seconds and shit. But that was a great promo between them two.
It's just me marking out on AEW because I watched it right after I watched Raw, and it was so much better. Like, so Britt Baker got over big time with me. The Chris Jericho segment with the dude. Who's the old guy, Christian, that's been talking all that shit? Dan?
It's Dan Lambert. He's the legend himself, America's top team, Dan Lambert. He's the reason why Bobby Lashley became relevant in TNA.
I love him so much. He's that, and like the Chris Jericho promo that we got was like a 2000s Jericho, like an early, like late 90s Jericho promo where he was just mocking the shit out of the guy. That was badass.
It was, dude. I was marking out the whole time.
In comparison to how Raw was booked, like this show was booked like so much.
Let's
go on to Raw. I'm just saying, I liked AEW.
Yeah, it was a fucking stark contrast. To what, you know, from Raw to AEW, and it's like, holy shit, what the fuck have I been doing this? I you know, 2 years they've been on already, and
where
I didn't fucking, and I didn't really bother, you know, a year, however long it's been on, I didn't really bother, you know, and now I'm finally getting into it, and shame on me for not tuning in sooner. But so fuck it. Let's, with that, we do have to move on because we still have predictions and shit. So let's work the predictions in with the WWE report.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the Swami Christian from Philly with this week's WWE report. Swami?
Well, Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the WWE Report. It is the week. The week has finally come for regular rules. That's right. There is nothing extreme about this pay-per-view that's going to happen at this fucking this Sunday. Regular rules. So, yeah, boo. Go ahead, boo, because it's terrible. We have to start this chronologically from last week's SmackDown, by the way. So last week, the Tribal Bitch came out again. And I think it's finally happened, everybody. I think the crowd is getting fucking sick of him now. I think the crowd is finally getting tired of this fucking shit. Because, first off, he comes and he doesn't say anything. He says the same shit over and over. Then Big E, the WWE champion, who doesn't even get a celebration segment, doesn't even talk, just shows up, waves his title. And then we get an impromptu tag team championship contenders match for no reason whatsoever between Big E and Finn Balor versus the Usos. Big E and Finn Balor win. But already, Big E's title reign is already a schmuck's reign, all right? Big E's already a schmuck. Because in a backstage segment on SmackDown on Fox, he gets beat the fuck by the Usos in a 2-1 assault.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Your world champion, ladies and gentlemen, gets beat the fucking shit out of him and then lays down on the floor. What a great WWE champion we had so far. Good start. Good start, gentlemen. Big E already a fucking tool. But it doesn't stop there when we go to Raw. So in the final segment on SmackDown, right, we go to Bianca Belair's homecoming. And it's his home. It's our hometown of Knoxville, Tennessee. Glenn Jacobs.
Kane.
It was cool. Go on.
No, it was cool. I'm not saying the homecoming wasn't cool. But
yeah,
the stupid
it was a pretty
key
good
was
one.
Stupid.
Like they never put on for people like that. Like I love that Bianca. I don't know. Bianca's kind of like a crowd favorite, I think, everywhere. But like it was a cool the homecoming party they did. But continue because I know
not,
how.
I don't have a problem with Bianca. I have a problem with the stupid key that looks stupid. The key. Very corny.
Yeah, the key was
but then,
whack.
But then,
and bro, look, the image that plays when Bianca walks out to the ring, the fucking 3D thing that floats over the ramp is like, it's like these lips with like her hair, like whipping around and whipping stuff. That's the cheesiest gift. It's the cheesiest gift they can use or whatever. But go ahead.
Yep. So, yeah, Becky Cringe, because that's what I'm going to call her for now on, Becky Cringe, comes out, and does a terrible heel promo, pipes in boo noises, pipes in, the crowd does not give a fuck, she does terrible heel shit, gets in the ring, does a terrible punch, tries to hit a terrible punch, reverses Bianca's burning hammer finisher, and then the most fakest shit ever, she turns Bianca around so slowly, it almost looks like she was waiting for Bianca to turn around, and then she hits the cringe bottom, and that's how the segment on SmackDown ended. Your hometown hero gets humiliated in her homecoming. What a good story. Becky Lynch is a cringe heel. She's doing terrible. What are your thoughts on SmackDown? The cringe, Becky Cringe.
So, the whole segment was good, and Bianca's promo was good. Like, she was excited, and she's just like, I was telling my wife, I was like, this chick's so young, and she's athletic. Like, this chick, she's going to be badass if she keeps on, you know what I mean? And so I'm 100% beyond Bianca. But then Becky comes out dressed like Cyberpunk. And she had, like, this bright yellow and, like, these glasses and, like, this whole thing. Her and Seth have just been trying to – they're giving them, like, this clothing gimmick where they have to wear weird clothes to get over or something. So that's a whole other thing. But, yeah, you left me a voicemail, Kristen, that was, like, talking about, like, look at what Becky's doing. Like, what's wrong with her? She's, like, not moving in the ring like she used to. So that is weird, too. Like, they're protecting her, or it's just like a heel style. It's that whole takeaway game that they play with heels where they don't let them do a lot of stuff to make us hate them, you know? So I think that's probably what it is. But
I don't want Bianca to lose. I don't want Bianca to lose. I want Bianca to win it back. I always want the babyface to win. The rest of the shows, I mean, the Mysterios, like, this other stuff, man, I'm not invested in WWE. And I know Extreme Rules is coming up. We're going to do predictions, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know half. I'm going to bet based off my gut instinct. Because AEW is way cooler. Their gimmicks are cooler. WWE is definitely losing me as a lifelong fan.
Yeah. All right. Now we go to Monday Night Raw. Holy shit! This is abysmal.
Wait! I didn't get to talk about Becky Lynch. I actually liked her look. The way she had her hair was absolute fucking doll. And you know, of course, you know, and it goes good with her new nose and everything. But the gimmick itself, I'm not really digging it, and it's unfortunate, you know, because I do like the heels, but it just seems like it's just so played out, and there's no fucking creativity to it, and it's the same type of fucking shit rehashed and rehashed. It's a female Seth Rollins, basically, like Kevin said, with the clothes and shit. I mean, the whole thing just seems so fucking, you know. Compared to AEW, it's just like, fuck, man. It's just such a shame that I have to fucking wait 2 hours to get to fucking AEW. Because even AEW Rampage, who features a lot of stars that I'm barely getting to know and shit, is more exciting than this shit right now. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with this.
I wish they would put them together. I wish they would put Becky and Seth together. Because I think their heat would become more organic if they did. They'd be like, oh, we're a couple, we're better than you, blah, blah, blah. You know, kind of like how Matt Hardy and Rebel were working together. They got a lot of heat and impact and stuff like that, too. And I think it would work out for them better, and they wouldn't be as stale. Yeah, granted, I mean, they'd probably still be working the same characters, the same gimmicks, but it would be, to me, it would get a little bit more heat, and I think it would work out a lot better.
I agree. Yeah. I don't think they're not teamed up. That's the only fix for this thing with both of them. Because I was telling my wife too, like Seth, I'm watching Seth, and I'm like, this guy's one of the best wrestlers they have on the roster. This guy is top class wrestler, and look at what they've done to my boy. You know, I'm like, look at what he used to be. Look at where he is now. It sucks so bad.
I did like that suit he wore though. That shiny silver suit. I got to give him kudos for that.
His
suit.
Promo was not bad.
The promo was good. But getting back to Becky Lynch, we've heard that promo
a million times before. Just like you said, it's rehashed. Like his promo of, it's your fault. You're the ones that did this.
Oh, yeah.
He literally did the same promo he did with Cesaro.
Right, exactly. But getting back to the whole Becky Lynch thing with Bianca Belair, okay, here's what I got to say this right here before we move on. If they don't put Bianca Belair in and put her into the main rotation of the people that are, you know, running with the belts, then fuck them. You know what I mean? Like, they have to, if they don't put her, if this whole thing with Becky Lynch does not end up putting over Bianca Belair, then fuck them. Because, man, she's got it. You saw the way she handled herself. If you saw the segment with the whole Raw homecoming shit, the kids loved her and all that shit, and they don't need to fucking turn her into another fucking Titus O'Neil, where that's all they're going to do with them. Like, to me, Titus O'Neil, even though he was not fucking, you know, the greatest fucking wrestler and shit, obviously, they still could have done a lot better with him. And shame on them for not fucking doing that. And if they do, if
you're
fucking
right.
Bianca Belair follows in that same fucking footpath as Titus O'Neil, fuck WWE.
I'm seeing a lot of similarities, too, because I wanted to point this out, too, that there's a lot of similarities between Bianca Belair and Thunder Rosa right now. Both of them were, like super hot going into this year, and we're getting over with the fans organically, dude, you know what I mean? And Thunder Rosa didn't win the big one in AEW yet, but she did have the NWA women's title. And then only to be, you know, kind of not really buried, but kind of pushed to the side a little bit to a returning wrestler, you know, whether it be like Ruby Riott or Becky Lynch. and kind of the same thing was going on there. You know what I mean? So we're all kind of like, dude, we want Thunder Rosa to be involved in the title match and then in the title picture in AEW, and Bianca Belair to be involved in the title picture in SmackDown. You know what I mean? But it just it's kind of weird, like, you know, seeing how things like play out like that. It's kind of like, you know, just, that hits you deep. You know, it's kind of like, yeah.
It's all. Anyway, we go to Monday Night Raw. As I reported last week, that Drew McIntyre is part of the UK NXT tour, so of course Roman Reigns was going to show up for Raw, and he did. It was the six-man tag match between the New Day and the Bloodline, and let me tell you something right now. And this is, I'm very happy this happened because the crowd was dead. The crowd did not give two fucks about Roman Reigns last night. The moment he came out of that ramp, the crowd was fucking dead. They did not give two flying fucks about this fucking piece of shit. Not one shit. And so the six-man tag happened, right? Bro, it was the most boring six-man tag I've ever seen. This six-man tag was so boring. It was so generic. And then Bobby Lashley comes out, interrupts the six-man tag, and attacks the New Day, which I'm confused because isn't that supposed to be a DQ, knowing that he's attacking the wrestlers, yet the ref doesn't call DQ. I don't know why.
Wait a minute.
So,
what was this?
The Bobby Lashley, the beginning of the show.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I was like, what the fuck is going on here? Why is this not a DQ? How in the hell is this not a DQ? What the fuck is this?
I have no idea. So it's not a DQ. And, yeah, the New Day lost. So Big E lost his first match as WWE champion on Raw already. But the shit show doesn't stop there, because throughout the entire show, Roman Reigns never cut a promo on Raw. Not a single time that he was on the show. He, Jay, and Jimmy never cut a promo once. They never addressed the fans. Nothing. There was not a single segment on Raw for Raw. And it was
That's
3 hours.
That's kind of badass, actually. I kind of like that. Like, that they're on the show, but they don't talk at all. That's pretty badass.
That actually turned me on about that as well. I was going to say the exact same thing.
Okay, that's fine, but the fact that the crowd did not give a fuck about this piece of shit screams volumes that they're getting sick of it. They're sick of this fucking gimmick. They're sick of it. They're getting sick of this fucking story at this point.
I think that a large portion of the crowd is getting sick of it. I will agree with you. But as I was watching this segment, as I was watching Raw and seeing Roman and the boys on Raw, I was still like, I was telling my wife, watching it with her, I was like, I still like Roman, and I don't see why people hate Roman like they do. And I think that Roman is actually still super badass. So I'm like at war with it. Like, I don't like WWE. But I think that Roman as a wrestler is a badass concept. And I think that the Usos as his guys, I think the whole thing, I think that Paul Heyman with him, all the shit is right. But I can see how the booking can piss you off. You know, the booking is whack 90% of the time.
Yeah, the reason Roman Reigns has John Cena heat, dude. Like, John Cena in, like, fucking 2005, 2006, like...
It's so hard to hear with the music playing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's
Can y'all hear well?
Yeah,
I can hear it just fine. Can you hear it just fine right there, or is it too loud right there?
That's no, good. We can hear him now. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's all I was saying. He's got John Cena heat. I think it's going to take him a couple of years to kind of shake it. Or like going away and then maybe for like a year or two and coming back, he would have like the biggest pop ever. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, he just has heat, dude. And it's not like permanent heat. It's not going to be the heat that, like, you know, it's going to last his career. He's like Roddy Piper or something, dude. Like, people like love him now. They loved him, you know, before he died. You know what I mean? It's just, it's going to come back.
You're talking
that.
About Roman Reigns here?
Yeah.
Oh, no, dude. I got to disagree. I think Roman Reigns has, like, Vicky Guerrero heat. That people really don't like her.
Vicky is beloved.
You know, people
dude,
don't really...
Vicky's got, like, the biggest fan base. Vicky, people love Vicky.
I mean, you know, I think it's, I see it differently. Like, I see the women liking Roman Reigns and shit, but, like, the guys and shit, I mean, like, you know, the whole thing about Roman Reigns to me is it's not his fault. It's not like we can say it's his fault. It's the fucking booking that's like, not right with him. And it's the way they booked him, and they've stuck to it. They haven't stopped. And it doesn't appear that they're going to stop. And so that's the problem that people have with fucking Roman Reigns. And, you know, that's just where we're at right now with him, unfortunately. We already know the storyline. That's what's fucked up about this whole WWE thing, is that we already know. There's so many fucking leaks and shit. We don't get this on AEW. We don't have the luxury of fucking knowing what's going to happen in AEW a year from now. Like, we've known about The Rock coming in. Apparently, he's going to come in to WrestleMania. And then there's even talk about that they're going to extend this for a two-year program, like Christian has said on here. When Christian I was like, what
every
the fuck,
year.
Really? Now,
every
like,
year.
I'm starting to read about it.
You don't think the more excitement, like, in, like, actual wrestling and, like, people like us, being older people, not kids, we're not kids, we got into wrestling as kids. I remember being, like, fucking 8 years old and loving wrestling. AEW has the power right now. WWE doesn't have shit.
Oh, yeah.
Roman Reigns, they're booking Roman Reigns like a fucking... Roman Reigns would have been like a powerhouse in the fucking early 90s. He's not shit right now. AEW has fucking everything. It's like for us, not for the kids, but for us, AEW is doing the thing. I love it. I really dig it.
On AEW, Daniel Bryan was like, you piece of shit. Like, and I marked out so bad with Daniel.
Yeah.
Said,
it's
you
not for kids, it's
shit.
For us. It's
you listen to this piece of shit all the time. I was like, oh, I love this.
It's great.
There's any time to get out of WWE, it's like right now is like, it's time. It's time to fucking like fuck WWE. We need to like go on to like bigger factions. And I've loved New Japan. I've loved different factions of wrestling.
But you're not addressing the problem. And if the problem that we're talking about right now is Roman Reigns, like, is he a problem?
No, Roman Reigns is not
the problem.
The problem. What the problem is the people that are fucking booking him. That's the problem. The problem is the people that are writing the shit.
That's what I'm saying.
So, you know, we can sit here and we can talk every fucking Tuesday about how shitty the booking is on WWE. And it's because these fuckers are too old to realize what, like, matters to other people.
It's just the one fucker.
Just the one. It's just
it's,
this man, I guess.
It's,
I don't know.
It's Pritchard. It's McMahon. It's Dunn. It's Kevin Dunn. It's all those guys in the back that have been there for, like, 30-plus fucking years, dude. That are just like, oh, yeah, we should bring back fucking Roman Reigns is, like, 6 foot something. We 200 something pounds. Let's make him the champion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the same.
It's trying to be like, oh, this is Led Zeppelin, and like, oh, it's like Led Zeppelin in the early 90s. Like, oh, that's not going to fucking work. It's a different
yeah, and in the meantime,
yeah.
And in the meantime, you got guys like Adam Cole and shit sitting in the back. We got a bunch of badasses and shit sitting in the back. We got Kevin Owens who could be amplified. Sami Zayn, who could be amplified and shit, running madness
just,
and shit.
Biggie Langston should be taken seriously right now. Biggie Langston should be produced as this fucking unstoppable champion.
Biggie should always
agree with what Christian was saying. They did him wrong. This whole thing, like, nah.
Biggie should have been like a fucking freight train you couldn't stop, dude.
And I love it. I've always loved Biggie. Biggie was one of my favorites. Like, getting back into wrestling 10 years ago or 8 years ago, I don't know how long it is, like, getting back into it, Biggie was one of my favorites. And they didn't fucking do him right. They never did him right. That's what fucking killed me about. Like, the story writing wasn't right for him.
No, it wasn't. It was hot shotting. And guess what? Even when I got the ratings, by the way, for Raw last night. Your fucking tribal bitch, the moving needle, only brought in 100,000 people from last week. That's like 1.7. Wow. What a good fucking ratings boost. 100,000 people more. Wow. All right,
let's check it out.
Hello, creatures of the night. This is Christian.
Wrong one. No, wrong one. Here's the one.
Last week's SmackDown was the lowest rating again, 1.7. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now, huh? That's where we're at right now in the era, huh?
In there.
But not even your fucking tribal chief is raising the ratings no more, motherfucker.
And
there you go. There you fucking go.
Chris.
Fuck out of here.
It's the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
No matter what, he's not going to fucking raise the ratings. Nothing. Unless it's, you know, the only thing that could save WWE now, all right, and I agree with what you guys said, these guys have become so old that fucking they can't relate anymore. And hopefully that doesn't happen with me. Holy shit. I hope I don't fall through here with that shit, man, following their suit. But no, that's what they've become, right? But listen. The only thing that could save them now is apparently the word going around the campfire has it that Vince McMahon and Dunn and his gang, they're going to make NXT edgier.
He's already edgy.
So we'll see if that's going to save WWE because they're a fucking sinking fucking mess right now. They're a sinking ship that's fucking burning. And I don't know how they're making money. How in the blue hell are they still making fucking money off the ass?
People are still buying it, man. That's why I'm the voice of the fucking voiceless. I'm the fucking one that's here every week cutting promos about why it's still the one you can still watch it and get joy from it. Well, you can still, I'm there. If you're listening right now on the airwaves, reach out your hand because my hand is touching your hand. And I'm saying that you can still like Roman Reigns. It's okay.
No.
Like Alexa Bliss. You can like Charlotte Flair. There's people that you can still support in this company. But it is fucked up, like these guys are saying. Just know. These are hard times, but hard times are they come and go.
But the risk says...
That's fucking gold.
Don't listen to it.
Anyway. Let's get to the predictions, shall we? Or is there more to cover?
There's more to cover. There's like two more things to cover on the Raw report.
Let's move on with it, bro.
So, it was nothing but repeat matches the entire show. But two things we have to discuss. The Charlotte Flair Alexa Bliss promo segment that happened on Raw.
Oh, man.
A few people left the attendance that night because of that segment. And, fuck this promo. Fuck Charlotte Flair. And fuck this Alexa Bliss gimmick. I do not give a fuck about this match. I do not give a fuck about this story. I'm done with the fucking doll. I'm done with this bullshit, man. I'm absolutely done with this shit. I'm done with this gimmick. I'm done with this.
I thought I heard this before. I thought I heard this last week, and I thought I heard this the week before that. And the week before that, Kevier was on, and I believe Kevier was on board with that. Kevier, you remember saying that? That you were also on with the fucking gimmick?
Really, I'm not saying that you should like this gimmick, like, because it is souring on me, but I'm saying that I hold on to a shred of hope for everybody. And I know you guys do too.
This is what I'm saying, though. I'm saying
Charlotte looks like $1 million. In this feud, Charlotte looks fucking great. I mean, if that's the story they're telling, then fuck Alexa and Charlotte's the one to be watching.
Exactly. However, I think that fucking this fucking story, guys, I'm on board now. I'm on board with this shit that it's got to go. It's got to fucking go. After last night, they set it up like it was going to be badass, all right? And I was expecting, okay, the doll's got to do something. Babe, come here. They're going to have this promo. Oh, yeah, I've been waiting to watch this. And shit, right? She comes in and stuff, you know? And, you know, we were both expecting to see some superpower shit, right? But then we didn't even get that. And all we got was fucking Charlotte Flair coming out in a badass fucking outfit. Because she was wearing a killer fucking outfit. And that was it. That was the highlight of the fucking promo. And I hate to fucking say it, but that's the way it is for me. And I don't give a shit if they fucking cancel me for saying it. Fuck that too. But you know, I'm gonna say it. That's all I remember from this promo is Charlotte's badass red outfit.
All of her outfits are dope. All the outfits she's worn since she's come back have been badass. She's like, that's like part of her gimmick now,
this
to have like
Alexa Bliss thing has to. They gotta end it. And I think I might have seen some, you know, maybe a little sprinkles of something there that they might have a match where they finish the gimmick.
Not on this.
Or
not
somehow.
Something I just thought of is Charlotte was telling Alexa in her promo. She was like, I want to fight the old Alexa. I want to fight the,
yes.
I forget what she called her, but she called her out by all of her old nicknames or whatever. And
right.
She was like, I want to fight her, not this chick. And
yes.
Then on AEW, that's the same thing that Daniel Bryan told Kenny Omega. He was like, look,
yes.
I came here to fight this guy, not this
yes.
guy. He
oh
said the
God.
Same thing to Kenny Omega on AEW.
Oh,
my
God. Christian, what do you think about that? They're fucking ripping off AEW now?
I think it's laziness. I think it's shit. Fuck this women's division. It's horrible. The story's horrible. This pay-per-view is going to be horrible. Well, yeah. Now we go to the final thing on Rob.
Get down to the nitty-gritty and rattle them off.
Yeah.
I'll roll the dice. And...
So put me in the mix, too. I'll roll the dice as well.
Ricky's going to do predictions, guys.
Wait,
hold
on. I got one last thing on the report. Then we did the predictions because this was the muddle-load of fucking bullshit. We had the triple threat match between Big E, the champion, Bobby Lashley, who just lost the championship last week, and the tribal bitch himself. And surprise, surprise, he came, he saw, he buried Raw. He buried Big E and Bobby Lashley in the same night. He beat them both. That's not only one loss for Big E, but that's two losses now. So that's two times Big E lost in the same night. And Bobby Lashley lost by getting pinned after he lost
yeah.
the championship last week. So the tribal bitch, he did it again. He buried the champion, and he buried the former champion. He buried Monday Night Raw in one night. Congratulations. Bullshit. And the crowd did not give a fuck about it. Those pipes in noises.
I mean, to me, what'd you expect? The head of the table
yeah.
is coming to town.
What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen?
Oh, shit. No, really, I mean... He didn't come there to fucking, you know, pussyfoot around. He came there to make a statement. It almost seems like they're already setting up fucking Survivor Series in a way. Which, by the way,
yeah.
I cannot stand that fucking pay-per-view.
Come on.
Yeah, they're setting up
Never
Survivor
have
Series.
Liked it.
They're setting up Big E versus Roman, which Big E's going to lose. Finn Balor's going to lose. And then... Brock Lesnar's going to lose. And then
and
guess
then they're
what?
They're all going to be on a team together.
They're all going to lose.
Gonna
guess
lose.
What? No, guess
it's
what? They already spoiled the draft.
They already spoiled the draft because at the draft, the first night of the draft on SmackDown, it's going to be Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship on SmackDown, and Drew McIntyre's going to fucking lose in his first night on SmackDown. Way to get buried, Drew.
I hate them. I hate them.
Yeah.
So guess what? They even spoiled. They spoiled that Brock's going to lose because they advertised Roman versus Drew on October 1st.
So,
great work. Great job.
Oh, now, they did make an attempt to clean that shit up. I saw, after you told me that, I'm not sure if you told me that by text or by voice message, but after you told me that, or by voice, actually, but after you told me that, I saw that WWE tried to clean that up by saying that if he still has the title.
What do you mean?
Otherwise,
there
would just be a one-on-one match, you know.
There's no ifs, ands about it. There's no if.
Of course not. If he still has the title. Get the fuck out of here, really? Like fucking the demon is going to win. Now, that would actually surprise me, guys. That would actually surprise the shit out of me. If
I mean,
fucking,
I was thinking about this.
If they
Why
made
not?
A change.
WWE needs to pull all the stops. They need to do a bunch of random shit all at
they
once.
They do.
And fucking make everybody think, like, what the fuck is
they
going
do.
On?
They do.
And they did it with Big E. That's a good move.
Yeah.
But, like, they need to do it with a fuckload of other people.
They're
going to
play
what the fuck is going on?
They're going to play it safe.
They really do, man. Why the fuck does Roman need the
like,
title? Why
you're
the
talking
fuck
like
does
a,
Roman...
Like a moment like every 10 minutes, Kevin. That's what you're talking about. Like just some fucking crazy shit happening each fucking segment. Like that's what they need.
Yeah. Yeah, but topsy-turvy. Like it needs to be like Fever Dream WWE where like a bunch of crazy shit's happening.
Yeah,
and I don't know what
you.
That means. I just mean I think that the in-ring product's fine. I think that the booking, but like if they just like because they started getting weird for us, man. They did it before the pandemic where the fucking
Bro.
Matt Hardy and the Bray Wyatt and shit like that, and that's what everybody popped for. Like we all loved this fucking extra like behind the scenes bullshit, like or the fucking pre-taped matches. And
Bro, the in-ring product is fucking great. I love watching the in-ring product of WWE. They fucking flow like butter. They know what they're doing and shit. Those athletes,
yeah, Big E,
those
guys he really got
and those women
athlete,
are
like,
geared
like,
up.
No offense, Christian, like you're pointing out that Big E lost, but Big E fucking whooped ass in those matches too. Like Big E looked like a fucking $1 million, even though he lost.
Yeah,
he
but
wasn't
he
lost.
Did.
He didn't take the pin. But,
he did.
And then what I was going to say about that is there's two ways you could go with a champion like Big E. Like you could make it be like the new guard, like where Big E is the new champ, like how Drew was, where he doesn't let anything get by him and he's the new defender of Monday Night Raw or whatever. And if you don't do that, you do the babyface route where you still make him lose and like get, like that's what they did with Drew at the end of his title run. So they just make him lose a bunch and then they win the important fights. And it's fucking wrestling 101 most of the time. And that's what Ricky's saying. That's what they've always done. That's what they're going to do. But I think if they fucking started flipping coins and fucking making crazy shit go down, it would be cool.
It would be.
The last time they
like
did crazy shit,
shit
it wasn't
like
really
good. Yeah.
All right, let's start with the prediction.
Predictions.
Yeah. Do the predictions, Ricky.
Okay, I'll do the predictions.
Yeah, we're good. I can't say too much after 11 here. I gotta, or too much after time.
Let's run through them real quick. We don't have to commentate. We'll just pull it
right.
Bullet.
Yeah. Do it quick, Christian. You got it.
All right. For regular rules, by the way. Regular rules. The card is this. The card is. Let's see. I'm loading it right now. The first match on the list, Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor, Extreme Rules. I'm not even going to bother. I'm just, we're all voting for Roman Reigns, all right? We're not even going to bother. Roman Reigns for all of us.
I'll say Roman Reigns.
Stop it.
No, Woman. We're all saying Roman.
Kevin for Roman.
Woman.
Roman. What about
Man,
you,
I don't
minister?
Know, because I just got done cutting the promo. Now I feel like I convinced myself that maybe they're going to make $10 win.
I thought we said no promo.
No.
Going, all
right, yeah.
They're shooting
right. Yeah, Roman Reigns.
All right, we all got Roman.
I got Roman.
All right, we all
Roman.
Got Roman.
Roman.
Next,
Albert.
Becky Lynch versus...
Yeah, Roman's fine.
Okay.
All right. Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair. I'm not going to even sugarcoat it. I think we all should put Becky Lynch. Just saying.
Stop
that. Becky Lynch again. What are your votes?
I'm betting, man. I love Belair.
God.
Extreme rules.
There's no stipulation for this match.
Yeah.
Put Ryan down for Belair, or Ricky down for Belair.
Okay. Okay, Belair.
This is Becky Lynch. There's no stipulation.
No.
I'm going to go.
Becky's going to win. Put me down for Becky.
All right, Becky. What about you, Albert? Becky?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Becky on this one.
All right, man.
I'm going to go with Becky too, man. I'm going to go with Becky too.
All right, Kevin, we all got for Becky. Except for Ricky, who got Belair. By the way, the Finn Balor and Roman Reigns match is the only match that has Extreme Rules match. So, hooray. Great. Now it's time for the Charlotte Flair versus Alexa Bliss match. Do I even need to ask? I think we all should put Charlotte Flair to retain. I think I know how she's going to retain, too. So... I'm gonna put Charlotte Flair.
I gotta go with man.
Well, no, because Alexa wins going into Halloween. Alexa wins and she goes.
I like Alexa. I like Alexa in this match. Put Ricky down for Alexa.
The October pay per view is gonna be Alexa with the bell.
And put me down for Alexa too, man. I got Alexa Bliss.
Alexa for me.
All right. So who's Alexa?
Ricky, Kevin, and the host.
I'm gonna put Charlotte. And what about you, Albert?
I'm gonna go. Oh man. As much as I love Alexa, dude, I'm gonna have to go with Charlotte, dude.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well,
I told you that you were not going to win.
Who? What was you said, Albert?
He said Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah.
All right, well, you want to know how I know Charlotte's going to win? Because it's going to be a fucking double count out. That's what's going to happen.
There's no predictions. We're doing a shotgun. Let's go.
That's what's going to happen. They're going to be both counted out.
I'm not from Philadelphia. No one's shotgun. Just name the matches.
Don't be talking
about
shit.
What's going to happen?
Baseball shit.
All right, so is Damian Priest versus Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy for the U.S. title.
Oh, fuck.
With that,
it better not be Priest. It better not be Damian Priest.
I'll tell you what. With that, why don't we go ahead and do our station ID right here, and we'll come back right after this, okay? Let's do that.
You're listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Yo, this is Kevier West. You're listening to us live on the Fatal 4-Way Podcast. Coming to you Tuesday nights at 9 on the World Generation Podcast Network. You can check us out on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Planet. I'll be here every week being the mediator, the friendly babyface, the all-knowing, well, that's the Swami Christian, but I digress.
tune in every week at 9. We'll see you then.
Oh, it's live.
All right, let's go. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's live with our, you know, with our audience and everything.
So back to the match.
By the way, we got to edit out that. Woo! We got to edit that shit out.
Yeah.
We don't want to offend anybody. But I digress. Continue.
All right, so we have the Damian Priest versus Sheamus versus Jeff Hardy match. Who do you think will win?
Hey. Damian Priest looks like an alien, though. Looks like a bit of an alien. Not to be racist.
Not like an illegal alien, but an actual alien. He looks like he's from outer space. Well, he's like all stretched out. Like, remember on Mad TV, they had that segment where there was like a caveman and then an alien that would like teach him how to do stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Prometheus and Bob. Yeah, it wasn't Matt.
Yes. And before we move on, man, I know, Albert, you got to cut it short, but shit, before we move on, I got to say that, you know, I actually think this guy has a future. He could actually be the next Baron Corbin.
He's going to be the next
They're going to have the King of the Ring soon. They're going to have the King of the Ring soon. And fucking, you know, they might just go that route. Drop him as King of the Ring and shit. And, you know, I don't know if they would do it as a babyface, though. King of the Ring babyfaces in the history? Do we know this? Anybody?
I'm really scared of the push that Damian Priest is going to get. I don't want him to get the push that they're going to get.
They might put the King of the Ring on him, dude. It's coming up. I just saw it coming up right around Crown Jewel
time. Edge was the King of the Ring, baby.
Oh, hell.
Put me down for Damian Priest, Christian. Damian Priest's going to win.
Who's that?
Match.
Who's talking?
Kevin.
That's Kevin.
Okay, Priest. Okay, well, what about you, Minister?
Yeah, Priest is going to win.
Okay, Albert. Is Albert still here?
I'm going to go with Priest. I'll go Priest on this to make it simple.
All right, and go for him.
This Thursday night, he will be presenting at the Latin Music Awards, maybe the Latin Grammys, maybe the Latin Music Choice, something like that, awards on Telemundo, and Damian Priest will be presenting, so representing Latinos. By the way, a step cousin, no less, Martinez, you know, Truth Martinez. So, yeah, peace, truth.
Another thing I wanted to note too is I'm looking at the Extreme Rules poster and it's all colorful like NXT. Is this you guys reckon this is WWE trying to go into a new era by having the colorful neon fucking colors on everything?
It's supposed to be edgier.
It's a branding choice. It's a different branding for sure. I mean NXT. Yeah, I mean
it's called
if it was just with NXT. But they do this all the time. They try different logos out, and they redesign the title belts and stuff. I wouldn't put it past them to redesign all the shit all of a sudden to just be like, these are the new belts.
To be frank, though, do you know what it used to be called? It used to be called gay.
Yeah.
Am I not wrong about this, Albert?
I don't know.
It used to be called gay.
What used to be called gay?
This what they're doing now. All of a sudden. It used to be called gay. You know, like how you said. Yeah. Not because of the color. Because of, like, everything.
Yeah.
I mean, like, everything has gone full fucking circle to where, like, it's just out of control now. No, the color thing has nothing to do with it. That's coincidental. Yeah. It's just how everything has come fucking full circle.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, back in the day, we talked about this, how, like, my older brothers used to call it the gay wrestling. That's what we watched. NWA and WCW.
Yeah, there was no colored flags or anything at that time. That has to be left out of this. But, you know, the shit that was going on back then, it seems like the same type of shit that's going on now.
Yeah.
They're going back into this whole thing of their own farm system, like their own thing. This whole thing that they're not including any independent wrestlers anymore is a little bit disturbing to me.
Well, yeah, it is disturbing, but I think it's totally different, because even back then they were getting, like, people from, like, the territories and farm systems, you know, even back in the 80s and late 90s or early 90s, you know what I mean? So, I mean, it's similar in the fact that, yeah, Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn, and Bruce Pritchard are running it, you know what I mean? And they're trying to go back to see what works. They're thinking maybe somebody will, like, you know, some sort of nostalgia, but then again, like, to me, they're trying something different, you know what I mean? And you look at the poster for Extreme Rules, man, it looks like they're kind of going to go with this, like, color scheme, like this dark neon, like, you know, look.
Oh, no, are you talking about the logo?
I'm talking about everything that WWE is doing right now. Now, NXT, yes. The logo, the NXT logo, I mean, that's the color scheme. The NXT setting, the light, everything. Even like
the Extreme Rules poster, purple and
go look at the Extreme Rules poster, Christian. It has that look of, like, blue, I'm sorry, purple, green, neons. And then things with, like, Braun Breaker, he's got, like, that 80s style. I think they're really trying to go back to that.
More
and,
supposed
and,
to, like,
and,
guessing
Mojo,
on matches?
The Mojo Rawley.
Yeah. It seems like they're going with that aesthetic to kind of, like, usher in the new era a little bit.
So the next match, repeat match again. Every single match in this card fucking sucks. This card sucks. The Usos versus the Street Profits for the 9,000,000th time for the SmackDown Tag Titles. I'm not going to even sugarcoat it. I'm all of us putting for the Usos.
The Usos?
I'm not sugarcoating it.
I hate them.
If Roman's not losing the title, it makes no sense for the fucking Usos to lose the titles. So I'm putting all of us for the
Usos. Welcome to the Usos. Who's
the opponent?
Victory.
Who's the opponent?
I'm gonna say the Street Profits.
Welcome.
And
to the Usos.
Let me get my long shot here, but there's a reason behind it, and I'll explain it next week whenever they win.
They're not. Okay, I'll put you for the Street Profits.
Man,
to you, Kevin.
I guess the Usos. I guess they'll be down for the Usos.
All right, what about you, Chuck? Because I already put you for the Usos.
Street Profits.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
All right, that answers
I gotta go with Usos.
Put Ricky down for the Profits.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah.
Hold on. All right. So up next. It's the last match, Liv Morgan versus Carmella. I'm going to put for Morgan.
Put Ricky down for Carmella.
Liv Morgan? I got to watch Liv Morgan too.
What a
I got
to
go definitely with Liv Morgan.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Liv Morgan too. I'm going to go with Liv Morgan mainly because it seems like they're I haven't really been watching the product, but it's moving and pushing.
They're trying
to
give her some spotlight, yes.
Yeah.
All right.
What about you, Pat?
WWE
what about you,
social media. I'm going to say Liv Morgan, too. I'm going to say Liv Morgan, too. But, yeah, just because I've been seeing them, like, posting her on their social media and stuff. They've been like, now is Liv Morgan's time kind of shit.
Nah, Carmella, for real.
Right.
Carmella's a jobber of the stars, bro.
I honestly forgot that Ricky was participating, so I need Ricky's all his picks again. Sorry.
Oh, hell. Stop it.
You didn't put me in, so don't put me
Ricky's
in. Ricky's
all inclusive.
Alright.
Ricky,
so
Ricky only voted
again?
Different. Ricky only voted different on the Street Profits and on, there was one other one.
Carmella.
Yeah, it was Carmella.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me do it now. Okay, Priest.
And who was the earlier one? There was an earlier one that you voted different on.
I voted against Roman Reigns.
I'm telling you guys,
Damian
Priest is going to be that guy who next year you guys are going to be saying, yeah, I kind of like Damian Priest.
No, y'all said...
And just like
y'all
were about
Baron
Corbin. Y'all said the same thing about Baron Corbin.
Look, but
y'all
I hated like
him
Baron
at
Corbin,
first.
But
and then y'all got
I think
to
Damian
like
Priest is going to be... Damian Priest is going to be bigger than that. Damian Priest is... They're going to push him bigger than they push Corbin.
Do you think it's because he's... Do you think it's because he's brown?
I don't know what it is, dude. I don't know what it is. And, you know, I don't know, dude. WWE in the last 2 years has done a lot more with people of color. I mean, in the last 2 or 3 years, they really have. So, I mean, what are you going to put it to? It's not that necessarily. I mean, the guy's not a horrible wrestler. He's a bad personality. I'm just saying, like, I don't know what they're doing, but WWE is doing this PR thing. It seems like where they're doing that more. I don't know if you're playing the sound.
No, I'm not. Who the fuck is doing that?
But no, I'm not saying that at all. You put those words in my mouth. What I'm saying is WWE is 100% all in on Damian Priest, and I think that they're going to push him to the moon.
I think so too. I mean, he's got that. And by the way, I didn't mean to push those words in your mouth.
No, I didn't mean that like that.
He's got that deal coming up, you know, this week, and I don't think that's the end of him. I mean, that's the way he started out with this whole, you know, touch with the stardom shit with Bad Bunny by
his
side.
Cookie cutter.
Now he's presenting at awards and shit. So,
yeah.
You know, they might follow suit with him. I'm thinking.
It's the
I'm
same.
They're gonna
it's
push
the cookie cutter recipe, dude. It's the same
yeah.
kind of climb.
They're
going
to push
it
to
their self-made
the
stars.
Next,
or
the next batch of cartoons, they're going to have Damian Priest commenting on if he ever saw the helicopter.
Oh, no.
But I digress. Christian?
Fucking
damn, what's going on? Christian, are you there?
Liz and Christian, cops are...
Bro, hold on a minute. Something's wrong with you, bro.
Can't say police.
Yeah, hold on a minute.
Can you hear me?
Christian?
Here.
Yeah, you're a little bit off, dude. Your signal is fucked up.
But can you hear me?
No. We can hear you.
All right.
Well, because there's a cold front coming out. We can't hear you.
No, nah, bro, we can't hear you. We can't hear Christian. Oh, dude.
We got through all the matches. He's got the
prediction. We just lost Christian. We just lost him. So, yeah, well, let's finish this out, man. Close yourselves out.
Hey, Kevin and Ricky signing off again. Sorry I brought up Kanye West. Ricky was, you know, he brought up Ultimo Dragon again.
We like to talk about Dan Severn every once in a while, but you know, you can catch us here. You can catch us on Pro Wrestling Planet. Don't forget, I know Albert's going to plug it too, but that Instagram page. Don't forget them T-shirts. Albert's got a lot of fat-ass designs up on the T-shirt site. He's going to show those links.
Nice.
Local Wrestling popped off this last weekend. Local Wrestling was sick. They got another show coming up in November. I did not get to go because we were playing a show, and my band is playing shows too, so don't forget to check out the Haulers, H-A-U-L-E-R-S.
Nice.
And we're moving. We'll load up your shit and fucking rock it out.
Right on.
We'll see you. We'll see you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The Trojans.
Kevier West and Ricky!
Live right now.
Go Stones! Boom!
Ricky.
Albert Inspected. Close yourself out, brother.
Yeah, don't forget to go to ProWrestlingPlanet.com, pick up a nice t-shirt, get some nice swag for your holiday season. We've got some breast cancer awareness shirts and all sorts of things.
Nice.
And of course, the proceeds from the Susan G. Coleman Foundation. There's that. And SWE's going to be in San Antonio this Saturday at the Woodlawn Gym. That's Woodlawn Lake Park. So if y'all are in the San Antonio area and looking for some hard-hitting action, go to Woodlawn Gym this Saturday at Woodlawn Park. There's going to be some great shows there. I'll be there hanging out with my buddy Haas Holdings, and he's a rookie on the scene. And believe it or not, he just started wrestling. And believe it or not, he's 60 years old. So I'll be chatting with him a little bit. I'm going to put it into some Pro Wrestling Planet, and we're gonna talk about it next week on the show. And it's going to be killer, man. It's going to be killer. So don't forget to check that out. Support all independent wrestling, and we'll see you next time.
Nice, ladies and gentlemen, Albert Inspected. Give it up. Robert Inspected. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, each and every week we try to give you the best that we have. And sometimes, you know, we have problems getting online, getting on the air and such, which we experienced this week and other weeks as well. But, hey, we appreciate you sticking with us through all the, you know, thick and thin, as they call it. And for Christian from Philly and for everybody else here at the World Generation Podcast Network, I am Internet Radio Zone, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and more importantly, keep it sexy. And we'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio. Peace out.
Presentation of the World Generation Podcast Network.